Morning, hallelujah. So the faithful love of the Lord in this text, it means He keeps us from destruction. Another translation says, because of His great love, we are not consumed. We are not destroyed. Amen. First point, see His faithfulness. In Mark 9, there was a demon-possessed boy and there was some commotion going on, and then they brought the boy to Jesus. And let's take it from Mark 9, 21. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy, the spirit often throws him into the fire, into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. Now Jesus replied, what do you mean if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Okay, so now, the man said, if you can, heal my boy. And Jesus asked the man, what do you mean if I can? What do you mean if I can? Because with God, there is no if I can. With God, it is always I can. Amen. The question to you today is, what do you mean if I can? Sometimes you pray like the man, God, if you can means, please bless me. Bless this new business I'm starting. If you can means, please open the right doors for me. If you can means, please change my son. Change my daughter. If you can means, please change my situation. If you can means, please forgive me. But with God, He's asking you, what do you mean if I can? I can. I always can. We need to learn to see Jesus as He is. Learn to see God's faithfulness. With Him, it is never if I can, it is always I can, I can, I can. He is the Almighty God. He is omnipotent. Omnipotent means unlimited power. And He is good and kind to us. Amen. He has been faithful since the very beginning. If you read the Word of God, you will learn to see His faithfulness right from the beginning. Let's look at Genesis, right at Adam and Eve's time. What did Adam and Eve do? They sinned, right? They sinned against God. And then in the Garden of Eden, and they were hiding because they could see that they were naked. What does God do? What does God do? He makes clothes for them. He covers their nakedness. He does not straight away, you're naked, naked, I don't care about you. Yes, no doubt, they get kicked out of the garden. They get banished from the Garden of Eden. But yet, God never stopped His faithfulness over their life. He didn't tell Eve, because you sin, Eve, I'm going to close your womb. You're never going to have children. It ends with you. No, He still blessed them, still allowed them to multiply. Now you go and work hard. Now you go and toil the land. He gave them a new mandate. Amen. Genesis 3:21, the Lord made clothing from animal skin, so Adam and Eve. These people who sinned and caused the whole world generations later to be in sin, and God had mercy on them right from the beginning. Great is His faithfulness. Church, are you with me? Are you following me? The faithful love of the Lord never ceases. It never stops. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Learn to see His faithfulness in the Scripture. Learn to see Jesus right from the beginning. Amen. Remember His faithfulness. Second point, sometimes in our struggles, in our weaknesses, in our shortcomings, we tend to forget who God is, how powerful it is. We lose sight of His sovereignty, His authority. The demon-possessed boy, his father, had been trying to save the boy. He brought the boy to the disciples. The disciples couldn't cast out the demon. When that happened, his faith went even lower. Alamak, cannot. You guys cannot help me. I brought to your disciples. They cannot help me. That's why when he brought to Jesus, he said, if you can. Your boys couldn't do it. Your guys couldn't do it. So if you can. When he lost sight of who Jesus is. Jesus is not the disciples. Amen. Amen. When he was losing hope and he brought the boy to Jesus. When we are losing hope, we need to remind ourselves that He is always faithful. Remind ourselves that His mercies never end. They are new every morning. Remind ourselves of who He is. The text for today, again, I'm quite repetitive today. Now, mind, at least you get it in your system. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. Powerful, wonderful word. But let's look at the context of this whole verse. Let's look at the background of how the author wrote this whole thing. In Lamentations 3, verse 1, this is how he starts. He says, I am the one who has seen the afflictions that come from the rod of the Lord's anger. He led me into darkness, shutting out all light. He has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. Wow. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and surrounded me with anguish and distress. He has bruised me in a dark place like those long dead. I'm going to jump straight to 16, verse 16. He says, he made me chew on gravel. He rolled me in the dust. Peace has been stripped away. I have forgotten what prosperity is. Oh, I cry out, my splendor is gone. Everything I hope for from the Lord is lost. The thought of my suffering and my homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time. It's a hard time as I grieve over my loss, his suffering. And then it comes to verse 21. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. So the author writes about his struggles, how difficult it is. He's forgotten what prosperity is like. That means he's been broke for a very, very long time. Everything I hope for is gone. All his hopes and dreams are finished. How many of us have experienced this before? Where all your hope is gone. You've forgotten what prosperity felt like. You've been down for so long, you forgot how to be happy. You forgot how to be joyful because you've been down again and again, down for so long. This is where all the more we need to remind ourselves of the faithful love of God never ends. This is when this scripture makes so much more valuable to us. It's when it's hard. It's when it's dark. It's when it's difficult. This scripture has no meaning to us when everything is good. When things are going bad, that is when I will remember his faithfulness, because he is faithful, church. Amen. Yet, I dare to hope when I remember. There's power in remembrance. In the Last Supper, Jesus sat with the disciples. He did the Holy Communion with them. This is my body, this is my bread. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember, and this is let's read it from 1 Corinthians 11. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself on the night when he was betrayed. The Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. Here's Jesus asking us to remember his covenant. But it's a two-way street. We remember the blood that was shed. We remember the sacrifice on the cross. But it's also, we are reminding him of the covenant he made with us. We are honoring God, Father, this is your Son. We are partaking of this, we are honoring your Son. And so every time we have the Holy Communion, God will bless us. Amen? Because we are remembering, we are honoring the Son, we are honoring the covenant, reminding God of the covenant he has with us, that his love is always towards us, that his mercies will never fail. Amen? And God looks at it and he blesses us. The Holy Communion reminds us that we sin, yet he maintains his covenant. He maintains his mercies. He maintains his forgiveness. We fail, yet he never forsakes us. Amen. We forget, and yet he will always remember. The Holy Communion is a reminder of his faithfulness. Remember his faithfulness. I dare to hope when I remember. Don't focus on your own faithfulness. God, you must bless me because I did this, I did this, I did this. I'm so good to you. I serve you. I have been faithful, Lord. Therefore, you must bless me. You don't focus on your faithfulness, because our faithfulness is nothing compared to his faithfulness. He is consistent when we are inconsistent. Amen. Amen. Just the other day, I was driving and approaching the toll. It was a jam. And I'm struggling there. This big giant lorry, I'm in front of him, but he don't let me cut. The more I go, he come nearer and nearer and nearer. Y'all kenal before or not? It was only me. So this guy refused to let me go into the lane because I don't have smart tag. This was a smart tag lane. Who uses smart tag? Is it still in the year 2000 or what? Use RFID lah. So anyway, I'm trying to go there. He refused to let me go. Refused to let me go. He gets so close to me that I quickly back off. I let him go. Okay, fine. We reached the toll. Coming out of the toll, I told myself, Jonathan, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. But I couldn't tahan. I accelerated. I purposely go and cut him in the front. And the moment I did that, I was convicted. What is wrong with you, man? Hey, let it go. I cannot lose. You cannot lose. You must cut him. Your flesh is still there. Your pride is still there. Why are you so kiasu? I said, you are so convicted. I had to go home and check my passport whether I changed my citizenship to Singaporean or what. What is wrong? Cannot lose. The flesh is still there. When you least expect it, it is still there. It will come out. Cannot depend on our faithfulness. He is consistent when we are inconsistent. Amen. Rest in His faithfulness. So somebody pray for me. I know you're judging me. He is faithful. My leg heavy. So you just... He is faithful when we are not. He is consistent when we are not. When I am weak, He is strong. Amen. Just now we sang in Bahasa, what? Dalam kelemahanku. Something like that, right? Bila lemah, kau lah kuatku. You are my strength. When I am weak, You are my strength. Amen. Sometimes you feel like this kind of situation. Maybe, Lord, I have not been faithful. I wish I was, but I have not been faithful to You. Today, I'm asking You to start to focus on His faithfulness, not Your faithfulness. The more we behold Him, but the more we behold His faithfulness, the more we will automatically change and become more and more like Him. 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, none of our faces are covered with a veil. All of us can see the Lord's glory and think about it deeply. So we are being changed to become more and more like Him. So that we have more and more glory. And this glory comes from the Lord who is the Holy Spirit. What it's saying is the more we behold Him, the more I look upon Him, worship Him, focus on His faithfulness, on His mercies never end, on His love never ends. The more I behold on Him, think deeply. The word says, I think deeply about it, about more Him, about this. And the more He will change us to be more and more like Him. Don't focus on your faithfulness. Focus on His. Amen. So Job was an upright man. Job, you know the story of Job. Upright, righteous, he did no wrong. But everything was stripped away from him, you know, right? His children, gone. Died. His wealth, gone. His property, gone. Everything, his home, gone. His health, gone. Everything was taken away from him. But despite all these things, he kept praising God, honoring God. We know that. But later on, he started to get frustrated. And he started to question God, if there was a court, I want to take you to court, but you are God. How to take you to court? I want to argue my case before you. What have I done wrong, God? Where have I went wrong? I've been righteous. I've been faithful. Yet these things happen. Where did I go wrong? This is towards the end. When the delay is too long, when the suffering is too much. He was still righteous, but he had all these questions. And it's fine, church, to have questions for God. And you have questions for God doesn't make you less holy or what? It's okay. Doubt doesn't cancel God's love over your life. It's okay to have questions. Ask, and He will answer. So Job said, I want to take you to court. I want to talk to you about this. And he started to focus on his own faithfulness and starts to reason. And it comes to his own conclusion instead of focusing on God's faithfulness. And then in Job 38, God answers him directly. The Lord answered Job from a whirlwind. Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you. This is God speaking to him. You must answer them. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, since you know so much. This is God speaking to Job. And then I'm going to jump to verse 17. Do you know where the gates of death are located? Have you seen the gates of utter gloom? Do you realize the extent of the earth? Tell me about it if you know. Where does light come from? Where does darkness go? Can you take each to its home? Do you know how to get there? But of course you know all this, since you were born before it was all created. Oh, you are so very experienced. God is talking to Job. God speaks like that. Read the Bible. He speaks like that. God spoke directly to Job, reminding him, even sarcastically telling him off, hey, who are you? Who am I? Today I was reading Isaiah this morning, and you know what? Isaiah talks about, he's the potter, we are the clay. Church, that's all we are, you know. Lumps of clay. Everything you have, who you are today, every decision you make, every open door that you have, you are just clay. At the end of the day, you are a lump of clay in the potter's hand. If God doesn't like what he makes, shoop, finish. He make a new thing. If we carry that in mind, remember, I'm just a lump of clay. There's nothing great about me, nothing good about me. I'm just a lump of clay in the potter's hand. Amen. Amen. When you have that in your mind, God can use you. God can bless you. That was extra. It's not even in my notes, but never mind. Go back to Job. So, God reminded Job, who are you? Who am I? I am the Almighty God. When we focus on our own faithfulness, our own righteousness, we are nothing. We come to a dead end compared to God and how great He is. Amen. But what does God do? He restores Job. He doesn't just give him back what he lost. He gives him back a double portion. He got back twice of everything that he lost. Why? Because God is a faithful Lord. Great is His faithfulness. The story doesn't end with Job losing everything. It ends with everything being restored double. The story ends with God's great faithfulness, great mercies, great love. And guess what? Your story also is going to end with God's faithfulness. It is not over. Focus on His faithfulness, not how faithful you have been. We can never beat Job at being faithful, okay? He's the benchmark of faithfulness. We are not even tested like him. Hallelujah. None of us want to be tested like him. Amen. So depend on His faithfulness. The third point, depend on His faithfulness. Now let's look at the text again. Mark 9:23. What do you mean if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. Believes what? Believes in Him. Not just positive thinking. I believe He will be saved. I believe He will be healed. I believe He will. But no, no, no. The belief is in Him. The belief is rooted in Him. Believe that He is faithful. Believe that He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. Believe that He is a good God who cares for us. The belief is rooted in Him. That is what we can depend on. That is what we can always depend on. When I was young, I would seek God and pray before going to work. And some days I'll be so desperate for God, I'll pray. I say, God, if you don't speak to me through your word today, I am not leaving the house. I don't care if I'm late for my appointment. I don't care if I'm late for work. I want to hear you so desperately. It's a foolish thing to do, okay? Don't try. Your boss will kill you. Don't do that. But in my foolishness, in my mistake, God always spoke to me. He gives me the book. He gives me the scripture. I will open it and it's exactly what I needed for the day. You can depend on His faithfulness. Jeremiah 23:13, it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. It's right there. Take it and claim it. Take it like a contract to the Lord. God, you said, look at this, Lord. You said, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I am seeking you with all my heart. Let me find you. Take Him at His word. Amen. That is something that we can depend on. Lord, you said in your word, you and your family will be saved. You said it, Lord. You said this in your word. You can take it to the bank, so to speak. We can depend on His faithfulness. Amen. You will seek me with all your heart and you will find me. And you will find Him faithful. Faithful. Last night we celebrated our church 40th anniversary. Amen. And Pastor David, Pastor Laifan has been pastoring here for 40 years. All kinds of things they go through. When we celebrate, we are remembering his faithfulness towards us. Not how good we've been, how wonderful we've been. No, it's how faithful you have been to us. Yes, they have been obedient. They have been trusting him. But we're celebrating what he did so far and what he's going to do in the future. When my parents started the ministry, what they had was nothing. Even when they were just married, they had nothing. They would go to the grocery shop, look at all the food, cannot buy anything. Go home, cook rice, eat some egg, two of them share a meal, like that. Poverty when they started. Yet, they trusted in God's faithfulness. Amen. Last time my father shared about my mom had to take 3 jobs. Morning teach kindergarten, afternoon teach in school. She was a secondary school teacher. And then at night teach tuition. 3 jobs to help us sustain, start the church. Yet, they dare to hope in God's faithfulness. Never complain, never give up, always joyful, always happy. That's why my mother's name is Life Fun. Life must be fun, huh? Correct, huh? Amen. And look what the Lord has done. They have never gone hungry. We have never gone hungry as a family. God has been faithful. When you can depend on His faithfulness, church. Depend on His faithfulness. And God's going to do even greater things than this. We've seen nothing yet. Psalm 99:5, it says, "For the Lord is good. His faithful love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to each generation." Your children, your children's children. Amen. Claim it for your family. Claim it for your children. It goes on and on. You can depend on His faithfulness. It is a sure thing. It is not a 50-50 thing, maybe, maybe. No, it is a sure thing. Many years ago, when I just started my business, I wanted to buy a car. And I went to the bank and my loan got approved. And I will never forget what the loan officer told me when I went to sign the document. This lady, she said, "Oh, you are barely made it, but can lah." That means not strong lah, the accounts. Barely made it, but can lah, approved, loan approved. With God, it is never barely made it, but can lah. It is always sure can. He is an I can God. He never barely makes it. He always surpasses our expectation when He makes it. Above and beyond, the word says. Amen. When I make it to heaven, I don't want Him to look at me, look at His report, look at me and say, "You barely made it lah, but can enter heaven." I want Him to say, "Good and what? Faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant." Because we want to be faithful like Him. He wants you to be faithful like Him. Amen. Because He is a faithful God. Let's be stewards of His faithfulness. And then you are faithful. You'll be surprised when you go to heaven and you're going to see some faces that are there. "Hey, you so made it. Yeah, like, I barely made it, but can." Then he said, "I didn't even know you're a Christian. I so barely made it, but can." We don't want. And you're going to be very upset when you go to heaven and you see some faces that you're hoping they will make it and they're not there. They're not going to be there. The people that you love, people that you care for are missing and they're not there sharing the joy with you in heaven. This is why we need to keep proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Keep talking about His faithfulness. Keep talking about the joy of your salvation. I'm not asking you to shove Jesus down their throats. Have Jesus in your life. You know Jesus, you die. You don't believe me? Huh? No Jesus, you die. You're going to go to hell. You know, chill. Talk about His faithfulness. Don't tell them, "You die, you die, you die, you die." You don't believe me? You die. One day you die. It's not about you. It's not about they don't believe you. It's about not about you being right. It's about them coming to salvation to Jesus Christ. Experiencing the greatest joy. Amen? Our job is talk about Him. Talk about His faithfulness. What He has done. Remember Him. That is the best way to share the gospel. I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. This is how Jesus talked. This is how Jesus spoke. That's the gospel. His life, his death, his resurrection. Finish. Then it's the gospel. Keep it simple. But Jonathan, I don't know how to share about Jesus. I can talk about everything else. I can talk. But this Jesus thing, I'm not so confident. It's fine. You can invite them to church, ma. You can send them a YouTube link that bless you. One of the messages that bless you. Send it to them. Hey, listen to this when you're free. We are on Spotify. We are on YouTube. We are on Instagram. For what? Not to get famous. Not to get views. Not to get likes. So the gospel can get out of these four walls. Amen. Use our resources. Talk about His faithfulness. Invite a friend to church. We can do that. I don't know how to share Jesus, but I can say, hey, why don't you come with me to church? We got people to pray for you. Just come to church. During the worship, when we sing, when we worship the Lord, how many times I've heard of people say, during the worship, God spoke to me. During the worship, God touched me. He said, I don't know why. I come to church. Sometimes I don't understand the songs or whatever, but I can feel in my heart, I start to cry. Then it's the Spirit working in them, making their hearts tender towards Him. Don't skip worship. Come early. Be in His presence. Amen. And when the message is preached, God is speaking to their heart. Sometimes they hear things we didn't even say. But they say, hey, the preacher said this, the preacher said that. Actually, you listen, never. It is the Holy Spirit speaking to them. Amen. Call them up. Now it's Christmas season. Hey, what are you doing on Christmas Day? Come to church. It's the best time to invite people to church. Christmas. After you come to church, we go for a nice Christmas lunch. Invite them to church. You don't know you can be an answered prayer to somebody. They are waiting for an invitation. They are waiting for somebody to invite them. But we don't do it. Who's going to do it? Be an angel in their life. Amen. Bring them in. Share the gift of eternal life. Share the real joy of Christmas, which is Jesus. Amen. Don't be afraid. Jesus said the fields are already ripe for harvest. You know? And joy awaits both the planter and the harvester. People are ready. People are want to come in. You'd be surprised. One of my messages I shared with a gym friend, the next thing I know, he shared with so many other gym people. They all watch my message. They all they know me. They talk to me. Hey, pastor. What? I saw your message. I know you talk all this. Like, whoa. It is going out without us even realizing. Amen. God can touch anybody. Don't be afraid. When we're doing God's stuff, don't be afraid. Amen. Be encouraged. See His faithfulness. Remember His faithfulness. Depend on His faithfulness. And the last one, talk about His faithfulness. Talk about it. Amen. God bless you. Amen.